Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted SEO podcast host. I'm here with Erica Brager of 10Speed, who's going to share her expertise and wisdom with us. Give yourself an introduction and tell the folks why we should trust you as a marketing expert.
Sure. I'm Erica Brager. I've been in marketing a little over 10 years. Currently, I'm manager of organic growth strategy at 10Speed. We're a B2B SaaS content agency. We work on organic, AEO, digital PR, and design. So my day is managing the strategy team. I'm advising on strategy. I'm ensuring deliverable quality. I'm helping the team identify new opportunities, whether that's technical, whether that's content, whether that's user experience, whether that's conversion optimization. But most importantly, a big part of my role is helping people grow, helping them build confidence and trust their instincts.
I love that that human building aspect to the conversation, because so much of our conversation gets bogged down quickly in AI that we kind of forget that we have a whole league of fantastic SEOs out there, as well as teams that get, if left alone, are not as optimized as they should be, right?
Absolutely.
What are some of the foundational areas that you tend to look towards when it comes to optimizing your team?
Comes to optimizing my team, a lot of it comes down to building confidence. I was a teacher in a past life, and my students didn't always have the answers to everything. Sometimes they knew it. They weren't sure whether or not to say it. So I do something very similar with my team. Say a client is overhauling their navigation, and the strategist is plugged into the client. They're plugged into the industry. They typically know what works in a navigation redesign, and they come to me for a gut check. I don't just sign off on the gut check. I keep asking curious questions to coax the answer out of them, because they come to me if they're not sure. But ultimately, I want to show them that they did know the answer, and then they can reapply this confidence the next time, say, a navigation overhaul comes up. But realistically, this confidence in different SEO disciplines could go on forever, because SEO is so vast. So it's ensuring that they're able to act on their instincts and act confidently, no matter what comes up with a client.
Does that have to do with the constant predator in the back of any consultant's mind, which is imposter syndrome?
I would say yes and no. When I started in SEO, I certainly didn't know everything. I went in for a lot of gut checks, and I will say there were gut checks where I went in like knowing the answer in the back of my mind. There's ones where I went in to collaborate. There's ones where I went in with the answer in the back of my mind. And I would say more so when the answer was in the back of my mind, it was imposter syndrome.
That's fair enough. What's been your main focus in terms of optimization? Robert Spinrad, one of my previous guests, and I'll give you the chance to do so as well, asked of the next guest, what are you excited about for the next couple of years in SEO? Is it AI? Is it going back to your roots and building more authoritative stuff, better user experience? What's your next thing that you and your agency are focused on?
A big thing for me is innovation. So I've spent almost my entire marketing career in agencies, whether I was freelancing for them or whether I was full-time. The through line through all of that is that it's fast-paced and the work ebbs and flows. Sometimes the current is pretty strong. But the thing with innovation is when you're asked to do an analysis for a client, there's often a lot of pre-work involved. You're grabbing data from multiple systems. You're organizing it into a spreadsheet. And that pre-work takes time. It takes brain power before you can actually begin the analysis, before you can make a decision, before you can craft a narrative for the client, and before you can help the client execute. So the innovation that I work on for my strategy team is Claude skills that take away that pre-work. So the strategist has all of that time back to focus on what really matters, which is the analysis, building relationships with the client, growing their skills, crafting the narrative.
What pieces of the puzzle are best left not cloddeded?
I would say everything that comes after that. I don't want to take away the thinking part. I want to allow the strategist to arrive at the thinking part with more ease, without burning energy on grabbing data, organizing it out of multiple systems, organizing it in the spreadsheet. I want them to be able to run the skill so they're able to have exactly what they need to get started. And then ultimately, they have more time and brain space to work on these different things.
How are you explaining the new value of SEO to potential leads and clients these days?
Well, it has really, I would say, expanded a lot over the past 2.5, 3 years. With ChatGPT, got to be on the rise, I would say, like end of 2023, we have to think about so much more. We always had to, but now it's become a must do. It wasn't something that could be kicked to like the nice to have part of the list. Now it's the must have part of the list. So we're thinking about digital PR. We're thinking about design. We're thinking about video. We're thinking about all of these other elements on, whether it's on page or off page, that matter, that impact how you show up across the web.
That's where I'm going to is, you know, instead of thinking of the Venn diagram as completely separate things, SEO and LLMs, I've actually started to shift that LLM window completely over the top of SEO. And
absolutely,
there really isn't anything that we do within SEO that you couldn't also view through the framework of LLM optimization at the same time. But it's really about, you know, layering in those cross-discipline efforts that, you know, in the, what I call the golden age of SEO, 2010 to 2020, we could afford to ignore because we could pull so much traffic organically that we could afford to not talk to the digital PR team, that we could afford not to be closely collaborating with the social media team, that we could afford not to be, you know, directly connected with the client. And I remember 3 or 4 projects where I never actually met or spoke with the client and I did their SEO, you know, either at a couple of agencies. Everything had been through emails and I was handed the account and I did the Ahrefs work and came up and sent off to the content. And I never actually spoke to the human on the other end or anybody in the team on that client side. And that, I think that systemology is dead. I think there's too much value that you have to extract from the humans working on the client's side, whether that's, you know, I was talking to a sales guy from Topaz, Chavez, and he really opened my eyes about the importance of human conversation and how important it is in the sales process to, you know, not just read the transcript, but to understand the intonation. You know, and if we rely too much on machine learning to just feed it the transcript afterward of the meeting and you'll learn everything, there's more there. Like, we're humans and we're actually reading. I'm reading your body posture and you're looking at your eyes and how you're reacting. And there's those secondary communications that, you know, as of yet, LLMs and AI tools can't really capture that or use it in a meaningful way where human-to-human conversation is super valuable, not just for sales, but for, you know, making sure that the client's satisfied. And, you know, it can make or break the difference between holding on to a marketing retainer with a company for as long as possible versus, oh, okay, well, we did that contract and didn't really connect with them. So my question to you is, are you guys at 10Speed leveraging human-based content?
As in connection with like client relationship building
Yeah,
or
exactly.
SME.
Yeah. Relationship building, you know, having informing decisions on the site based off of either analysis of that text or having conversations to understand, you know, who the ideal customer profile is that you're targeting.
Yeah, a lot of that happens early on in the client engagement where we're getting to know the client's team, their industry. We're getting to know the product and we're understanding like how the product is used by the ICP, what keeps them up at night, what gives them gray hairs, what does their tech stack look like, all of these different moving pieces that make a that draw like the ICP to that product. And SME is built into our briefs. So we are tapping experts on the client's team to inject that expertise into the content so that the piece that comes out is ultimately more aligned with their needs and their challenges.
What is it that you're adding to the content marketing that you're doing for your clients that's additive above just the baseline of what an LLM can provide?
I will say I haven't had a situation come up where a client is set on using an LLM to write their content. Some of our clients get fully produced content. Some of them get the briefs. And some of them that we do deliver briefs opt to use an AI-assisted process with editing. It kind of depends on team bandwidth and how they choose to execute. But ultimately, it's the brief that sets the content up for success, ensuring that it has subject matter expertise, that we conducted our deep research on the product. We conducted our deep research on the ICP and understand where this piece lands in that moment of the journey. I think the human element is important because a human has to strategize what the topic should be, how it's connected to the greater picture, and then how it's connected to the ICP at that moment of the funnel. And that lens also needs to be applied in the editing process, whether a human wrote that content end to end or whether if it was an AI assisted writing process, we still need that expert review layer.
What's one of your biggest victories from the past year that you'd like to share?
I've had a lot. I've had a lot of interesting things happen with Claude skills, I would say.
Go on.
Building Claude skills. It's how much time I'm able to save my team and how much brain power I'm able to give them back to inject into things that matter. Claude can summarize conversations across your system. So instead of jumping from like place to place to place to read conversations, you can have Claude go out, grab them, summarize them, and that saves you a lot of time and effort that you would have spent going from to 3-4 different places.
So it is kind of the secret sauce underlying it, finding ways to bring more input into these systems and taking the moment to designate specific Claude skills to make that process repeatable across teams?
I would say yes. Through all of my agency experience, what I consistently ran into is it's the pre-work that can burn a lot of time, a lot of energy. And if someone else is helping you with pre-work, whether it's someone on the team or you're using an AI skill in Claude, you're able to then get back the time to invest into, you know, running your analysis, crafting the narrative, making a strategic decision, and helping the client execute.
That definitely makes that tracks. Have you had experience outside of the agency setting, or has all of your expertise been in the agency wheelhouse for delivering marketing?
I would say technically my only in-house role. My family has a food blog, Ethnic Spoon, and that's where I really learned SEO. They had an audit done and I helped execute the audit. And then I really enjoyed what I was doing. It was like very granular work, updating meta descriptions, updating titles, title tags, going through each blog and reorganizing the content to make it more machine readable as well as human friendly. And I liked what I was doing. So I started to get really into food blog marketing and figuring out, okay, what should we publish next? What type of foods are trending? Even though that was a freelance role, it wasn't technically full time. That was probably one of the most like in-house experiences I've had. Otherwise, I've been at agencies.
When it comes to an agency, you know, I've been everywhere. I've been freelance. I've been at a couple of different large agency, one very small and niche hunting focused agency that provided exclusively to outdoor people, you know, Wasp Broadheads and working with Jeff Foxworthy. Is there any particular vein of niche or industry that you really like working with?
I have mostly been in B2B SaaS. I would say 90% I've been in B2B SaaS.
When it comes to SaaS, is there a particular mindset or understanding about their goals or systems that helps you deliver value to them as an agency?
Sure. With SaaS, the products are technical. They're complex, but they don't have to be technical and complex. You want to make sure that you're delivering how the product works, who it's for, in language that humans can understand, but humans outside of the organization. If you're writing too much in technical language or internal language, it's not going to land. And in the agency setting, we're running these analyses to make sure that how the content is written, whether that's a blog, whether that's a downloadable asset, whether that's the core pages, is angled towards the humans that are going to be using the product, that it's meeting their pain points, it's meeting their jobs to be done.
Any wisdom you can drop for our SaaS listeners, whether they're founders, solopreneurs, or working on the SaaS side of things, that you could share a gem or opportunity for them to take?
Sure. I like to take a step back when I'm working on B2B SaaS content and say, if I were to show this to a friend, would they understand? Or you can always gut check with someone else on the team that's not involved in the account. Like, hey, does this make sense to you? I use this a lot when I was a copywriter. Because I would get so far into learning about a company, learning about a product, that I didn't realize how technical I was being. But if you have the opportunity to cross-check, to collaborate, it's always valuable. Different things can come out of those conversations, like insights that you weren't expecting.
Is there something about the B2B angle and aspect that needs to be respected versus when you're writing or creating or consulting for a B2C company?
You mean like B2B versus B2C?
Yes, that's right.
I would say it depends. As we say in SEO, it depends on what the product is and who it's for. Like cosmetic industry is going to be very different than housewares, than appliances. So it's going to vary industry to industry. But at the end of the day, you're writing for humans that are trying to solve a problem. And you have to make sure that your content is leading them towards that solution.
I do have a challenge. Are we actually writing for humans, or are we writing for bots who are talking to other bots who are being prompted by humans?
It's a little bit of both. You need to write content for humans first. However, you need to keep in mind that in order to get the content in front of humans, it needs to be machine readable so that the bots that parse the content can present it to the correct humans at the correct time.
Any myths or missteps that you like to put out there? Hey, like, it's people think this, but you should absolutely not do that. Any red lines that you like to put out there for your clients and your conversations?
Don't rush a website migration, I will say. Never rush a website migration.
Because forgetting to do redirects, leaving off entire sections of your website. And there, I feel like many of the times where migration becomes the solution, it sometimes shouldn't have been the solution. Yeah.
I've run into that as well, like changes from one CMS to another. But when I'm working on a website migration with a client, one of the first questions I ask is, like, what are your goals? What are the business goals behind this migration to make sure that they're not moving from WordPress to Webflow or vice versa because somebody likes it over the other?
What's your game right now in terms of CMSs? I personally have unlocked Claude Code and REST access on the back end through an application process password, and I'm now editing directly my websites largely 3/4 of the time it's through Claude Code, as opposed to using the WordPress interface. What CMS does your agency prefer or push? And do you think it's going to stay that way with everything that's developing on the code world?
I wouldn't say that we push or prefer any CMS. Our team will learn your CMS if we're publishing content to your site. I started in WordPress years ago, and I got most comfortable with WordPress through all of their iterations. So that's my preferred CMS because I know which plugins work well with it, and I know all of the other little quirks as I'm making recommendations, because that's another layer to think about with CMSs. So I would say it's less about a preference and more about knowing how they all operate so you can make good recommendations.
That makes sense. This is not necessarily directly related to SEO, but it is related to all of the work that we, you know, use Claude all the time. We all use AI tools. Mike Montague, my previous guest, was wondering, do you think we'll reach some sort of, you know, super intelligence within these AI systems? And if so, how will that change anything?
Possibly. I still find, even with all of my Claude skills or Claude usage, I still need to run a thorough QA. There's still a QA element, so I question, like, when that could possibly happen and how much we could possibly hand over. I'm hesitant.
Last question is, what's been troubling you? What's an SEO challenge or a problem that you've been facing and you're still researching it, something you're scratching your head on? Because I have SEOs on all the time, digital marketing experts of all types. So giving you the opportunity to take that challenge you've been facing and pose it as a question for my next guest.
Well, that's a good one. I would say one of the challenges that has come up is maybe centralizing all of my information. So now I need to pay attention to Reddit, and I need to pay attention to G2, and I need to pay attention to YouTube. So making sure I'm keeping track of what's happening with a client's visibility, a client's mentions across all of these systems is a challenge.
Okay, so what are some of the tricks or processes to put into place to centralize visibility when we've added so many new layers of different ways and places that we have to monitor them?
I would say the best way to do it is with a tool. I have not been super involved with that. But the best way to execute that, I would say, is with a tool that's going out and taking all of these steps for you, similar to what I'm doing with the Claude skills. So what if we're able to take out all of this pre-work and just have everything pulled together into one place so you can start your analysis?
Makes sense. What are you guys working over on over at 10 Speed? Is there any speaking engagements? Do you guys have any awesome content that you put out recently that you wanted to highlight? Any downloadables or resources? I'll make sure that anything you mention gets linked in our show notes, goes up on SEO or Arcade, linkbuildingideas.com, humancertifiedcontent.com.
Absolutely. We just published our first research report. It's live on the website and it's being promoted on socials. Great. It's what AI actually cites for B2B evaluation stage prompts. It's taking a look at how your own content that you can control will dominate AI citations at the consideration stage of the funnel. It'll talk about what type of pages are leading citations, what's happening with community-driven sources, and what's happening with comparison format queries.
That's some useful research. I do want to check that out myself. I'll make sure it's linked in the show notes because that can inform a lot. You know, knowing that that your own content can be still play a vital role in informing that LLM, and not to throw up your hands and just be like, okay, I guess that 1,000 listicles it is.
Pretty much, yes.
For everybody that's listening, I'll be adding those resources to show notes. You can catch more unscripted SEO interviews at unscriptedseo.com. And of course, make sure to check out Erica Brager on LinkedIn and her company. I think it's 10speed.io.
Yes, 10speed.io.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.